Let's turn in God's Word to the book of Job. The book of Job in chapter 30. And we're going to read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 31. Job chapter 30, and beginning in verse 1, these are the infallible or the inerrant words of God. So let's give our attention to our God. But now they that are younger than I have me in derision, whose fathers I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock. Yea, whereto might the strength of their hands profit me, in whom old age was perished? For want and famine they were solitary, fleeing into the wilderness in former time, desolate and waste, who cut up mallows by the bushes and juniper roots for their meat. They were driven forth from among men. They cried after them as after a thief, to dwell in the cliffs of the valleys, in caves of the earth and in the rocks. Among the bushes they brayed, under the nettles they were gathered together. They were children of fools, yea, children of base men. They were viler than the earth. And now am I their song, yea, I am their byword. They abhor me, they flee far from me, and spare not to spit in my face. Because he hath loosed my cord and afflicted me, they have also let loose the bridle before me. Upon my right hand rise the youth. They push away my feet, and they raise up against me the ways of their destruction. They mar my path, they set forward my calamity. They have no helper. They came upon me as a wide breaking in of waters. In a desolation they rolled themselves upon me. Terrors are turned upon me. They pursue my soul as the wind, and my welfare passeth away as a cloud. And my soul is poured out upon me. The days of affliction have taken hold upon me. My bones are pierced in me in the night season, and my sinews take no rest. But the great force of my disease is my garment changed. It bindeth me about as the collar of my coat. He hath cast me into the mire, and I am become like dust and ashes. I cry unto thee, and thou dost not hear me. I stand up, and thou regardest me not. Thou art become cruel to me. With thy strong hand thou opposest thyself against me. Thou liftest me up to the wind, and causest me to ride upon it, and dissolvest my substance. For I know that thou wilt bring me to death, and to the house appointed for all living. Howbeit, he will not stretch out his hand to the grave, though they cry in his destruction. Did not I weep for him that was in trouble? Was not my soul grieved for the poor? When I looked for good, then evil came upon me. And when I waited for light, there came darkness. My bowels boiled and rested not. The days of affliction prevented me. I went mourning without the sun. I stood up and cried in the congregation. I am a brother to dragons and a companion to owls. My skin is black upon me, and my bones are burned with heat. My harp also is turned to mourning, and my organ into the voice of them that weep. And those are God's words. We left Job in the last chapter describing the many blessings and prosperity the Lord had granted him and his family and himself and his property, including the honor of being a judge or a ruler in the city. And this chapter continues his speech. It begins with, but now, right? Through verse 14, he had previously been honored, but now he's vilified. Verses 15 and 16, and verses 28 through 31. Job had much comfort and delight in life. We heard the last chapter But now he has terror. He was a terror and a burden to himself and overwhelmed with sorrow. Verses 17 and 18 and verses 29 and 30. Job, last chapter, once had good health, but now he was sick and in pain. Verse 20 and 22, Job had a good communion with the Lord in prayer. Worshipped Him. But now it seems the Lord doesn't even hear him. Verse 23, Job had thought he would have a long life, but now he saw death as so very close to him. Verse 24, that nothing could deliver him from this earthly death. In verse 25, Job had in the last chapter we read, had sympathized with those that were in misery. God's people, there's two things. First, Job teaches us here that for the child of God, all these things are possible in this life, even for the Christian, for the one who follows after Jehovah. That everyone also will die in their earthly bodies. And then secondly, notice he keeps his focus still on the Lord. Even while he is comparing what we heard in the last chapter, all the prosperous things that the Lord had brought to him, all the things he enjoyed with now this chapter, and all the things that have come upon him in suffering and affliction, his focus is still on the Lord. He's still concerned for the Lord and what He's doing. He wants Him to hear His cries. And so, beloved, in such dire circumstances, what are we to do? We are to keep crying out to Him. Notice even here, in the midst of all these afflictions and what he's grieving over, he still has hope. Christian, you still have hope. Look at verse 23. For I know that Thou, Lord, Thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. Praise God. He still has hope. And we are to still have hope in our Savior to bring us unto that. That eternal life, even if we die in our bodies. And in particular, you can see here, He who can grant life after our bodies rest in the grave in Christ Jesus. You can raise up our bodies from the dead. You are to cry out to Him for life. And so put your focus upon the Lord. But remember also in this life, these are all possible for you. Affliction, suffering, and perhaps even greater affliction and suffering in this life than the wicked. But their end will be an eternity of God's wrath and affliction that we will never know, Christian. Ours will be an eternity of life and blessing and prosperity in Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for Your Word here. Again, teaches us what we ought to expect, or as possible for any one of us in Your providence to undergo such affliction and suffering, loss of all children, and loss of and destruction of property. Some even will have been prosperous in this life and it will all be taken away. And yet we rejoice knowing that none of the things that we will have or gain in this life physically we can take with us. We cannot. It will not go with us but stay here, and eventually all of it will be destroyed, as Your Word promises. For nothing in this life we can take with us except that which is our souls. You preserve our souls in Christ alone. And so put our hope in that. Not to say that we ought to divide our body from our soul or to exalt our soul over our body. Father, You've made us body and soul. And so help us to serve You with the bodies we have, weak as they are, until they die. And then even now give us hope in that resurrection from the dead that we long for. We pray that it would be a resurrection unto life and not a resurrection unto judgment and damnation forever. So turn our hearts today from our sins to Christ, your Son, and grant us faith, that trust that we need, and submission unto Christ in all things. That we would see Him as He truly is, our not only our prophet who preaches and speaks to us, but our priest who saves us and our king who defends and rules us. Our Father, we're thankful for our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the life that we can alone have in Him. And yet, Father, this day we ask for Your help. For we are weak, and so if we are in the state or somewhat like the emotional state of Job, downcast, disheartened, Father, build us up in Christ Your Son and encourage us in Him. Grant us the remembrance and the comfort that we can only have in Him and the Gospel, the good news. Out of all the struggles we've gone through in the past week, we ask that You would remind us today of Your mercy to us, though we might have failed and fallen into great sin, that You are a gracious and merciful Savior to all who come unto You in Christ Your Son. And You are merciful even to forgive and pardon all of our iniquities and sins if we would just come unto You and flee unto Christ. And so cause us this day to flee to Christ, Your Son. Father, give us ears to hear today and eyes to see Your Son. We pray and ask for Your help. Those who are encouraged in their walk, they've seen grace, Your grace working in them. We pray that You would continue that work and bless them, give them a greater assurance of their salvation. And those who have wrongly perhaps thought they are saved or have a false assurance of their salvation, have not truly believed but think they are, Father, we pray that You would convict them of their sin today and turn them to Christ truly. And Father, You are the judge, and yet while we might believe these are Your people, Father, we pray that You would reveal the truth to them and to us. And You would, in each one of our lives, from the youngest to the oldest, show fruit in keeping with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sanctification, the fruit of the Spirit, and the godliness and holiness. And teach us Your ways, Father. We ask for Your help that You would grant us of the Scriptures, understanding and knowledge and wisdom. For these things we cannot have unless You grant them by Your grace. And so help us today and for the rest of our lives. We ask for also the many who are sick today. We know that there is a cold type of thing going around. We know that many are sick. We pray that You would heal them. We pray especially for those who have at least made it known to me, the Nichols, many of the Nichols family. You'd heal them and any others who might not be feeling well. We pray for Patricia. We're thankful her surgery went well this week. Ask for Your strength and energy to her to build up that strength for her that she might even be able to worship with us this evening, though that might not be possible. But we do pray for Your grace and also for Larry, who is taking care of her. Thankful for another example to us, as we'll study this morning about marriage, of a godly example of taking care of our spouse. and sacrificial service. Pray that you would bless him for that and encourage all of us towards a love for our spouse, much like the love of Christ for the church. Father, we pray for Julie. Know that she has lost her grandfather, died end of last week. Father, we pray that you would be with her and Phil and Mark and bring them back safely to us and keep them safe as they're in Oklahoma today and presumably attending worship at the Oklahoma Church in Oklahoma City. Pray that they would be a blessing to them and the church there would be a blessing to the Gorodetskys. Father, we pray for a couple ministers in our presbytery who are dealing with health issues. Pray for Pastor Rice and Pastor Drost, that you would grant them healing in their souls and bodies, and to build them up that they would be ready to serve you again and minister the gospel faithfully. And Father, we do ask for your help now. And Father, again, we are weak. Turn our hearts to you. Help us to be, make us to be, by your grace, if it would be your will, to be faithful in your worship. And where we fail, Father, we pray that Christ would perfect our worship and you would receive thus that perfected worship from him, from us, with yes and amen. And it would be unto your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.